this is the Baptist preacher of this. I know how to raise an offering. You should have some offering tonight. Because we're going to give you money. We are. KLS is going to give you money. We'll do a pledge later. Talking about this. Because this is exciting, but you've got to support yourself. We're doing it. Yeah. He's the money man. He gave me a lead.
Serious.
You're right. Yeah. No, we're going to do something to support you.
Yeah.
Maybe give you a work. That would be nice, right? Yeah, we can do that. All right, we can do the work. I made a decision. I'm executive. I'm like Obama. I'm doing executive orders once in a while.
So, we don't have board of directors or anything. Okay.
No, we don't do that. We're free. We're okay, and here's an interesting thing. How many of you are, I don't know how they do it in Canada, but how many of you are incorporated? And not as a nonprofit. No, you got to stick with your thing because you got government support. We have no government support, although we did start out with our first grant was the National Endowment for the Arts. But the government will not support us. And hello, and we get, we just took that down a commission, $200,000. Commission from the city of New York because they got in our Kool-Aid and started telling us what to do, and we're not doing that. And we do it
too much.
It hurt a lot. Trust me that they just got in our Kool-Aid so bad, and I said, actually, I'm tenacious. So this is deep. And the angel of the bridge said, we're not doing this. They have logic.
Are they trying to tell you what to make?
Yep.
Yes.
How far? Like what kind of
everything.
Literally everything.
They accepted our proposal so and they changed and we did this and we did that. Yes. It was so tacky.
They didn't know what they wanted. What they
tripping all over.
They just knew that they didn't want what we kept presenting to them.
So that you got really
but
careful.
But it was one particular agency that was really important. Not to get into detail, but they were really hanging their hat on this safety piece of it. You're going to do these two aluminum panels. This is based on Roberto Clemente, who's an iconic baseball player who died in a plane crash in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And doing some humanitarian work. And so the Clemente family really wanted us to not focus so much on the baseball career, but more on, like, he was a poet, and obviously he was a great humanitarian, and so they wanted us to focus on that. And so we had one of his poems, and we had these two aluminum panels that were supposed to go up 8 feet. They were really super thin. They were, 3 inches wide. I mean, they're just, thick, and it's beautiful. Well, this is actually in the Bronx, and so their complaint was, well, but they're so tall, and what if someone hides behind them? And, and this is the thing. No, but this is the thing, is that we were really offended, because we're like, if this were to go, I don't know if you guys are familiar with New York, but if this were to go in Lincoln Center, it would be no problem. You guys wouldn't have an issue with it. But the fact that it's going in the Bronx, which is completely different than it was 25 years ago, you have an issue with it. And so they stipulated this height limit where it could only be like 5 feet tall. So basically we did this mock-up. It was crazy. We did this mock-up. We put it up. We built these 5x3-inch cardboard things. And here I am standing on this thing like this. Literally, the thing's coming up to like here to me. I'm like folding it, so it looked ridiculous. And that was actually the final straw, because then they came back and said, well, but why don't you do like your original mock-up? But can you do it? And so we said, guys, we can't do this anymore.
Yeah, we won't. And also, the percent for art loved it, the architects loved it, the cultural affairs loved it.
There's just too many people in the kitchen. There's too many
Department of Transportation, DOT, and they wanted to be artists or something. They just threw the monkey wrench in it.
Well, but we would be okay with good suggestions. The issue was is that they just didn't. It was more like we'd go to meetings and they'd say, no, that's not going to work. Come up with something else.
I don't know how it is here.
Anyway, so that's for anyone wanting to work in the public art.
Can I ask you a question again? Can I ask you a question about style and so like the formal aspect of your art practice? So as I said in the introduction, you developed a trademark style, working on pages of the books that you read. And visually interpreting them somehow, taking something symbolic or something that was representative and putting it on top of the pages themselves. Can you talk a bit about branding, or not even that was terrible, but it's too corporate.
No, it's
but
not.
Something about style or recognizability and its importance, or maybe maybe something that should be challenged.
You know, I'll be honest, because we actually laid these down. These are museum quality. We have these archival material. It is a pain in the ass. But we did it because, I mean, when the kids were first around, no one read books, really. They did it. And I said, you know, this is crazy. Shakespeare did not write for comparative lit students going to freaking Harvard and Yale. God bless him, but he wrote for the ages. And he wrote for my kids. Because our kids, they know tragedy, big time, but we also know comedy, big time. Right? And you know how we roll in the studio. It's a blast. It's like a party, Puerto Rican party. So how can you have a dialogue? And also there's something visually very dynamic about our crazy images and then on the text. We talk about this constantly. Can we get away from painting on book pages? But there's something about the audacity to have a dialogue, right? Poorest congressional district in the United States, and we're all hanging out with Shakespeare and Melville and Harriet Jacobs and, you know, Debussy is next, believe it or not, Mendelssohn, Aristophanes, are you kidding me? And you dare have a dialogue with these greats of history. It's important. Okay, again, hold on. One of the great quotes, I like to quote a lot, and one of the great quotes I love is by Dostoevsky, and he goes, when you get right down to it, only beauty can change things. Beautiful always wins. It always wins. Look at history, look at everything, always wins. Huh? We were laughing. You know, we have a glass of wine and say, we should go and do a workshop with ISIS. We were laughing. Wouldn't that be the ultimate shift? And you just got to go with ISIS and do a workshop.
I mean, we might be one of those guys in the orange jumpsuit, but.
yeah, you try to cut my head off. Yeah, we're going to get them on.
Craig, the whole book page thing is a blessing and a curse at the same time. Is what it's become, because especially so we were telling you earlier how we had this big deadline that we just got done, literally on Monday, and one of the paintings, one of the larger scale, we did these large Darwin paintings, and one of them, for some reason or other, because there's certain factors that go along with it. Again, for the young artists out there, you got to pay attention to these things. So humidity, especially with putting these book pages on, we got to look at the weather. It's crazy, but if it's if the humidity is too high, the book pages just won't adhere. They'll pucker, they'll wrinkle, it'll do all kinds of fucked up shit. Sorry.
Go ahead.
And so one of the paintings, you know, we're trying to convince ourselves, we spent like 2 hours, 2-3 hours gluing these things on. I don't know, maybe it'll dry okay. So we come in the next day, and I was the first one there, and I'm texting the guys, we gotta start over. And so I was like, are you sure?
And then you're trying to talk yourself out. It's okay.
No, it's gonna be okay.
It's gonna be
like, there's a bunch of all messed up things over here, but no, we can tame over it. It'll be okay.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
No.
I guess the follow up question.
Yes.
The underlying question is, how free are you, do you find, with your collector base and your and the galleries that support your work and publicize your work and promote your work and all that, how much freedom do you find that you have now to experiment, to go back in the direction of the Pinocchio piece, to go in a sculptural direction, do something that would be ultimately completely different from works on pages of the books that you...
Not a lot. No, they wouldn't.
They wouldn't go for it.
I mean, but that's also the thing. Again, I mean, when you're talking about you're having these commercial influences, they're selling these paintings. So you got to see it. You got to step back and say, okay, why exactly are you promoting that? Like, if you're selling Nike shoes and you're just, you know, you're gonna keep going with the swoop because that's what's recognizable. And for a lot of these guys, galleries, they don't want to see anything that's too different. They want to see some difference, but as far as deviating from book pages and such, we haven't presented it to anyone, but I would imagine that there would be a huge backlash.
Well, it seems like style is something that would emerge anyway out of your own experimentation, but it seems like there's a balance somewhere along the line, if you continue with it, that you might become a little bit prohibited or something in how much further you can go.
At some point, we can experiment. At some point.
What would you say to young artists, though, who see the influence of an art market and the emphasis on branding or style or recognizability is coming through school? Because you see that especially with someone going to Cooper Union or something, where galleries are coming in and doing studio visits with second-year students.
It's
in the
school, I'm a senior professor, School of Visual Arts. We got an angel's now a professor at SVU. And I just say it's about freedom. Freedom.
And integrity.
And integrity.
Because you can't, if you don't feel good about something leaving your studio, go with that. And we've done that plenty of times. I'm sure we've left lots of money on the table with things that we probably could have just pushed out. Like that painting. Someone will buy it. No. You can't operate like that. It's got, because ultimately you...
We can't. We're not telling you
we can.
I know we can't do it. It's like the Yankees. And we can't have Alex Rodriguez on our freaking team anymore. No, we can't. No, you're not going to drop it. I don't know if you're the Yankees in 10 minutes from where I live, but we're Yankees fans. But no, it has to have a particular strong integrity and develop that now. And don't shift around. Unless you want to.
Unless that's part of your practice. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, we know a whole lot of hoes. Art hoes. And they will, you tell them what to paint, they'll paint it. They'll tell them what size, they'll make it.
Tell them what's selling, they'll paint it.
Tell them what's selling. And guess what? I respect them too. I respect anyone that makes something in this culture. Instead of sitting home watching Dancing with the Stars, I don't know what you watch. But it is like, I'm so thrilled that anyone makes anything. It's good after you make something during the day. I love the voice.
So you have all these beautiful patterns, these wonderful ideas that to continuously repeat and say to people over and over again, your thing's wonderful. Are you working with textiles at all? I feel like the thing, I'm a textiles person. So I feel like if you want to continue to say the same idea and have these beautiful patterns that you're coming up with about these ideas, why are you printing them on fabric and making things? I feel like this is a really, why not? Right?
Well,
you continue to say the same things, and you continue to have beautiful, beautiful patterns that you have. So why not put on fabric? And why not make something experimental with a thing that
we're doing that?
Do that? Are
just,
you?
Yes, we have a contract and go online with Maharam, the great, great textile folk.
Yeah.
And they called us up.
Yeah.
And we're doing major, and it's digital now, so it's so fascinating. And then we have a major contract and doing a major project with Maharam, and it's going to be our first installation.
Yeah.
We'll be at the Portland, Maine Museum of Art coming on up in the summertime.
In June, July.
Yeah. They called us up. The issue is, availability and what you can do. Yeah, we can do almost everything. Are we making work in marble? Hell no. No. I mean, if you want to do it, you do what you want to do. Angel's a stone painter, too. He's one of the best painters in America.